You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us.
All right, here we go. Thank you so much for listening to CKMS 102.7 FM. We're in Waterloo, Kitchener, southwestern Ontario. I'm Yenny. With me in the studio is
DJ JD. How's it going?
Good. And also
Nicodemus from Amity Operations.
Sweet. So we're doing a Facebook Live right now as well via CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo's Facebook page, of course. And we're pretty excited. First of all, CKMS have started a few community connections programs to sort of highlight what we do and like really connect us into the community, you know, making ourselves known, basically making our programmers known and making ourselves relevant, and also while at the same time supporting local people, like real human beings. Hence why, you know, we have Nicholas, but you go by another name.
I go by many names, but yes, Nicodemus and the Lost Rats is one of my acoustic projects that I work on. I do traditional folk music. I guess people call it punk as well, but yeah, it's one of my projects, one of the many, many projects.
We were chilling out in the green room there while you had your guest on.
Nice.
On your
show
there.
Yeah, the previous guest, yeah.
He was saying how cool it was to be able to hear someone from Motown call in from
the
United States,
Maryland.
Amazing.
Well, and all music is, you know.
It's amazing how we can have you here.
Yeah.
On the same station. Guests right after each other.
Right.
Locally, and of course, he was from the United States.
He lives in Maryland, and he was talking about actually that he's stayed true to his own state and homegrown kind of guy. So he was a former Motown singer. He talks about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and returning to horses as a way of rebuilding himself and in recovery. So he has a ranch, and he also invites children, youth from inner city, to work with his horses for changing lives, basically.
And now we have Nick in the studio.
That's awesome.
Who's also very
great.
Involved in, like...
And we're going to hear about his story now.
Yeah.
I know. It's exciting.
Yeah, well, even having that guy...
Jar, sorry.
Having him help people out like that, that's beautiful.
I know,
it's incredible, because we need more people like that to actually put forth the effort to bring people from, the city to his ranch.
It's relatable, too.
Yeah, yeah. And animal... call it, I guess, recovery. Animal rehabilitation is an amazing thing.
Animal-assisted therapies and, one of my huge passions, obviously, is, equine-oriented, bringing people around horses for mental health purposes is, my passion in life. Knowing how rehabilitating and, the kind of peace and tranquility and forgiveness that you can find around horses while you need to rediscover yourself or even purpose or even get some hope again about life.
Yeah.
Horses are animals in general. I like that, where you can kind of just feel a bit of peace.
Yeah. That's a big part about, I guess, rehabilitation and mental health in any way is, you know, forms of comfort, like animals and music. Those are two extremely important things in recovery that a lot of facilities don't actually participate in, which I find rather incredible. But music, the musical therapy and animal therapy are two extremely scientifically proven ways to physically help people and mentally help people, you know, in unfathomable ways.
Exactly.
And Amity Operations, we are specifically, we're helping artists, all walks of life. I personally consider a lot of things art, so from candlestick makers to bakers, you name it. All artists in the Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Southern Ontario region, we're starting to network really, really finely with all my friends and family to work with each other to grow. And yes.
It's fantastic. I'm just interacting as well with people that are tuning in via Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Craig. So, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Greg.
And I also saw that Joe Zapp is with us, and Brenda. So thanks for listening, and I see your name there too, James Jordan.
Joe Zapp, he's a great friend of mine. He's
a little bit of a name drop there.
Yeah, he's an amazing drummer, and he is actually playing tonight at Harmony Lunch in a band called Mouthfeel. So
I love Mouthfeel.
Yeah, they're an amazing band. Mm-hmm. Amity Operations, yes, we're putting on this show as well. It's a tape release for a band called Pick a Piper. They're quite an amazing band. I first heard them a couple weeks ago, and I was pretty floored. They're quite professional and amazing, so we're going to have them in town here at Harmony Lunch. And Mouthfeel will be playing as well, and we've got about five other bands on the bill, too. So it's going to be a good night.
Nice. Yeah. Is there a page or a way that you
Yes, there is an event page. There is an event page. It should be on the 39 cassettes.
I follow.
Francis Clare, a.k.a. our own Dylan here.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's part of Amity Operations as well. He's working directly with me. As I said, I've got a committee. You know, I wanted this organization to be everybody working with each other. So we're all just throwing ideas back and forth to help further all of ourselves as individual artists with each other as a family. Yeah.
I love it.
So tell us a little bit about your background and what you got you started into music.
Oh, that's strange. Well, I've always loved music ever since I could hear. But I don't really know. You know, I started playing guitar when I was young. And I sung in the choir when I was in elementary school. And I've always had a passion for music in a way. So I played guitar for about 15 years on and off. And
started on acoustic?
Yeah, I started with acoustic and mostly learned that most of my life. So my electric guitar, I never picked up too much. I almost considered it a separate instrument in a way. And I learned piano, harmonica. I'm learning clarinet right now, actually, for my electric band.
Interesting. How's that going?
It's going great. I have a practice clarinet, and my electric band, it's completely improv, improvisational, heavier metal kind of music. But we do jazz breakdowns, blues breakdowns. So we're
cool. Little clarinet solo.
Yeah. So it's very strange, and it's a really interesting project. I'm trying to create an orchestra out of energy. So that band is called Bone Soup, and we will be releasing our very first demo next month.
Yes. Cool.
I believe it will
Make
be
sure
December.
You send it on over here to CKMS.
Yeah.
I'd love to play that.
We'll freak out some people in their audience.
Sounds good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But musically, I was in a blues band about 7-8 years ago, traveled all the way out east and back, called the Royal Drifters, and Joe Zapp was actually a former member of that band. And then I started hitchhiking, catching trains all over Canada, the United States, street musician, I guess, for a very long time, just playing on the streets everywhere.
That would have been fun, kind of,
hopping
between trains and stuff, and seeing the whole country. It's a different way to see it. But
yeah, it's an interesting life. You see things from a completely different side of things, you know.
I got to interject and add something, because I follow a photographer on Instagram, and his photographs are all about people basically living off of what we consider the daily grind. His photography is amazing. He's an upcoming guest in the next year, because he's very busy right now. Michael Joseph Photography on Instagram. Okay. I can show you some pictures after. It is just the people, the images are just amazing.
Yeah. You see, I've
met another life for sure.
Yeah, and you meet some of the most incredible people on the road, just traveling, in all different walks of life. You see some amazing, beautiful things, and you see some of the most wretched, heartbreaking things ever. And in any sense of growing and journey, that's one thing, traveling and just experiencing life in every walk, Staying stagnant in one place, you're not going to achieve anything. So it really takes putting yourself on the line. And, I've just just born traveler, so I don't know. It's just in my blood, so I just can't help it.
I'm from Sweden, so like I get the travel bug for sure. I traveled in Europe before I came here and just sort of like worked job to job and like lived with people that were sort of like from anywhere in the world. And just sort of like you're on that journey together where you take a break from like the real life or like whatever the people are doing and figuring out where you're going in a way.
Yeah, exactly. You start to see life in obviously a completely
like the freedom
way.
That you have and like the boundaries that people impose on you, like they don't really exist when you travel. You kind of take it in your own hands.
Yeah, and then at the same time, there's a completely new set of boundaries that are essentially, you know, brought to the table. You know, when you're on the road, you have a whole other, almost a handbook, you know, like... Yeah, I've met an incredible amount of hobos in all walks of life. And back in the early 1900s, it was actually quite the prestigious thing. It was a cultural revolution to actually these men that would quit their jobs and realize they're tired of being told what to do. And they would ride trains and hitchhike and work where they had to work, get the food that they had to do. So it was a prestigious thing. And nowadays... you know, homeless culture is very strange. So, like, I've seen things on very separate points of view. But back then, it used to be something where it's just like the people took pride in the fact that they were tired of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, people are still relying on systems that are not working necessarily. Yeah. So, it's, you know, that's where there's a whole counterculture of, like, these punks, people would call them crust punks, travel punks, these amazing humans who I've met from Texas to Vancouver, all over the place, these people, humans who just play music and spread just the love or, like, the hardships that they feel in their day-to-day lives. So it's incredible. I've met some of these guys, I played with them. And just to have that connection, have that, an actual family. Some of these guys are my family and I've never met them before. And then we'd meet up and I'd be like, oh man, you're a brother. I forgot, you know. And yeah, it's quite the family actually when you start to realize it, you know. So this is the idea of the operation, is to really bring these people closer together. Start helping them realize that we are a family, because... all these people are doing everything individualistically, and I understand it because I'm an artist and I do it myself, but when we work together, it's like that's the bee's knees. That's how things grow. So, yeah.
Especially through music.
Yeah, art
is... brings everyone together.
Yeah, so it's not even actually just music. So, like, I'm covering everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a musician, but I'm also a poet as well. I'm compiling my book of poetry as we speak. I'm writing a book as well. I've been writing a book for about 7 years, and I also have another book of short stories as well that I've been writing. I also have over 35 canvases at home that I've painted over the past so many years. And I've got like 4 albums I'm coming out with. So like it's just who I am. Just naturally, I was a chef for many years. So no matter what, I'm always just gonna, you know, you give me something and I'll create something out of it. It's just the drive to be able to show people something that they don't normally see. And art is one way, you know, it's one form, one profession where we can actually seep into people's minds and show them things, teach them things in ways that going to university and college will not do, you know, making people learn things on their own, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Which is lacking. Yeah.
You, like, blew your own mind there. Like, that sounded so
there
cool.
There we go. Yeah.
That sounded really cool.
Yeah. It's true.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And it's kind of like see a need, like, or fill a need, see a need kind of idea where, you know, you see things around you and you're like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. What can I do? And finally you're like, okay, you're pushed into action.
Yeah. It was years. Well, fuck. Years and years of just... struggle personally, and then as part of being in the industry, you know, I can see all the other artists that have gone through the exact same thing, whether you have money and you have a record industry or not. Nevertheless, the struggle is there, and it's a matter of joining each other.
Supporting each other. We're human, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I guess some of the corporate industry supporting music has kind of taken away from the artist freedom, like a lot of the artist freedom and even the joy of being a musician, where you're forced to you know, put out so many albums, or you have to make it sound in a certain way. It just takes away the joy of the making of the music. Like, your artist freedom has been removed.
Yeah, set up in a factory back in the 50s. They pretty much started cookie cuttering media for the public, essentially, and that's something that needs to be diverted away. This is an industry, the art industry. It cannot be controlled by suits. It can't be, you know, because that just doesn't make sense. It's art, you know. It can't be absolutely, you can't be trying to make money off it. It's essentially trying to help people. Like, we have to make a living. That's essentially, you know, life. But money is not the aspect. It's to live. That's the aspect. It's to actually be able to just eat some food, have a family, and just be once again. But, you know, there's a lot of things around there. But, yeah, so from all the different artists we have, from like, recording agents to people in the media, social media, painters, candlestick makers, like I said, bakers, you name it, essentially, I'm rounding them all up. And we do have some sponsors already, like Active Relief Cannabis. He is a good friend of mine from Cambridge. He's working out of, I believe, Cambridge and Toronto right now. And he makes edibles, marijuana edibles, to help people. And he raised a lot of money for juvenile diabetes. And that's something as well we'll be getting into, is like a lot of community outreach. And obviously, like what we said, helping people that have problems like homeless, addiction. Yeah. We've all been through it, you know. So it's a matter of actually stepping up and, you know, stop asking for certain things and start getting things done in a way.
Especially around here in Kitchener. You've been around a lot of places.
What
is it like comparing all the other places you've been to in here?
Oh, it's this city, Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, it's always comforting coming back here. Right. Every time I leave and I come back, it's a home. But, you know, being around so many places, there's a lot that's very similar, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The regimen of everything, how people just constantly go through their day-to-day, it's extremely similar everywhere. It does not change.
Well, similar. Everyone struggles the same way.
Yeah. But it's kind of weird how I've noticed going from the east to the west. The emotion in people and the way they treat you is very different. Because as you go more east, people start to get, like, nicer and nicer. And their doors are always open. Okay. And you go to certain places out west, and they start to get more closed. You know, it's a very strange way of looking at things, because Vancouver, it's a very communal, hippie kind of hopping spot. But at the same time, all those hippies have a lot of money, and they don't want to open your doors to somebody that looks a certain way.
Right.
But on the other side of it, you got out east, where they're not, they're more conservative, you could say.
Right.
But they're open there. They got food and doors open to everybody, because that's humans, you know. So it's really strange, the diversity you see. And just the cultural change from bigger cities to smaller cities, you know.
And the homeless here in town, stuff like that.
You've
met people in the community, right?
I've been homeless for many years. I was homeless not by choice and by choice as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been on both walks of things. Now, I know a lot of people in the homeless community here. Amazing people. Some of the greatest people I know. People that just get stuck, caught up, you know. Little lost. They don't have that outreach, you know. We do have a lot of programs here in town. But I'm sitting here and I can see people in coffee shops that just need someone to walk up and be like, hey, man, do you want to talk about something? Or do you need a plate of food, you know? And I'll do it as much as I can humanly possibly can, but it takes, you know, a lot of people to do that, you know? And it takes it from ourselves, not from a corporation, not from, like, I'm developing this organization, but the reason I'm doing this is because we do need an organizational level to help people, you know, because clearly it's not done too much, so, you know, but, yeah.
And it's on a local aspect.
Yeah. We are working on a local aspect in the Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge area. Right. And, but our growth, we're working from artists all in Southern Ontario. So, you know, the plans are very exponential, but at the time, we're just keeping it local, keeping it cool here. We'll be doing shows like, obviously, Toronto, Guelph, Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different art shows and more showcases like that. But, yeah, we'll be slowly branching out. But for the most part, we'll be local here and really focusing on helping people here in this community. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Because, yeah, like I said, seeing the struggle, it's not acceptable.
Right.
Really.
And especially around this time of the year, we're going to start seeing a lot more like food drives and stuff like that. They're important.
Yes, it should be important like every day of the year in a way, because like, I mean, it's impossible, like as a human, like, you know, a person, we go around and we see what's around us, and like you come out for a store and somebody's, you know, asking for money, right? Or you see that somebody is struggling, like, you know, you give a sandwich to somebody or you try to help somebody, you give a five. Like, I give too, like when I see somebody, I don't have a lot of money, but I'll give if I can. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have a hard time seeing, I think it's great when people do great, like if you're, you know, whatever it is a person does, but like we always have to remember, you know, also the weaker ones amongst us or you know, like it's not even necessarily weaker, because opportunities, like lack of opportunities, can create a circle or like a cycle.
Yeah.
And if you never have any opportunities, or if you have to be basically like Superman or Wonder Woman to like survive your childhood even, or even make it, period, like it shouldn't be like that, right?
Yeah, you get locked in that cycle and it's hard to actually break out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still a busker. I'm an artist like full time. So like, no matter what, I will find a way to pay for my shelter and eat food. So I busk. I may have to busk in between this show and the next show tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's just part of it. And in a way, I did choose it, but I really had no intention of choosing it. It's just like, you know, this is, I've worked 9 to 5 and I also struggled with some serious mental health problems. So like, clearly that's not really up my alley. I'm going to sit there and write a hell of a book and do what I have to do. And I'll sit out on the street and busk and sing songs for people, you know, and hopefully that'll open something up. You know, I sit there and I see kids dancing all the time when I'm playing. That's like,
yeah,
I love it, because, you know, those kids, all these kids, they don't see that these days. They do see the sad part of the homelessness, you know, and it sucks, but it's there. And it's a matter of, like, seeing somebody, you know, panhandling on the street and, you know, lending them a hand, actually reaching out, you know, and lending a hand. Like, and I do it on a regular basis. I've walked down the street and I've seen somebody crying and I've just been like, hey, man, like, you know, hold on here, just take 5. Let's have a smoke. What's up? I'll sing you a song. I don't know. Like, how can I help you? You know, something as easy as that. And people are too caught up in this rat race that they can't see it. But, you know, a rat race is going to end up in a grave. So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your banjo. It looks like it has some stories that it's been through.
I think I'm in tune.
Yay.
Yeah. This is Sally. Her name is Sally Ann.
Sally Ann.
Named after, actually, the Salvation Army.
Oh, cool. Interesting.
Yeah, when I was traveling, they actually helped me a couple times.
Right.
I fell in the ocean like 6 years ago, and I almost died. Got, like, pneumonia and stuff.
Wow.
I was out in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and I went to the Salvation Army the next day because I was, like, still wet. I, like, slept out in negative 20-degree weather.
Oh, wow.
And it was bad, but they gave me new clothes, new boots, everything. And I was like, wow, you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
So when I got this banjo, I named her Sally.
Interesting.
That's a good name.
Good story.
Is that a clothespin? As a,
No, no.
It's, oh, no. From this angle, it looks like one.
It looks cool. It's
that's a cool capo.
Yeah, it's a wooden one. But yeah, I've had her for about 2 years, and I didn't really know how to play all too much when I first got her. And then I've always loved the sound. I actually grew up in Fort Erie, So it's a small little town right on the border of Buffalo. And grew up in the sticks, so I listen to like a lot of country, well, a lot of Frank Sinatra and stuff, but a lot of country music, watched Hee Haw. So I was really into like Hank Williams and like bluegrass and stuff. So I've always had a soft spot for country music. And a good friend of mine, Ricky Mullen, actually, great local artist, Ricky Mullen, you should check him out. He plays amazing music. I've always loved to sit there and just listen to him sing. And he was probably my biggest inspiration on getting the banjo. It's because like I'd sit there and just hear him play like, you know, they're like punk songs, but he would just... It just sounds beautiful. And I was like, man, I want to do that one day. So yeah. Got me a banjo and did it.
Interesting. What's some of the favorite stuff that you like to play on the banjo?
That really depends on my mood, I guess. Always.
Such an interesting instrument, too. I mean, you could... I've seen the dueling banjos with Steve Martin and... forget what the other fellow was, the other comedian there.
Martin Short.
There you go. Yeah. And it's like wow. It's like you could really go all out with something like that.
Yeah, it's really, once I got, like, I played guitar for so long, but I felt like, I don't know, for me personally, it was too organized for me, I guess, which is funny, but it was too organized for me. But, and for this, I felt like I had more, like, once I got used to it, I had more freedom for, like, the dueling banjos and stuff.
Right.
I felt like I could just do that a lot easier than playing a guitar.
Just play a little lick there once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like a TV show in between scenes. You come out with a little...
Yeah, sometimes I like to just, like, you know, walk behind people and...
to their life.
Yeah. Or sitting on the bus, like, I'm playing everywhere. So, like, I like and I don't like, but I bring my banjo everywhere with me, so like...
I've literally seen you on the bus, like, I've met you like a few times in the community, at the Beat Goes On, Dylan or Francis Clare organized the tape release there, like last year, or maybe earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I saw you there, and then I saw you, I think, at the Boathouse or somewhere, and then on the bus, you got your little amp with you too, sometimes? Or what is that little box?
No, actually, that's my suitcase. A lot of people think it's an amp, but it's a suitcase.
I just assumed it's like, you're a musician, it's like, it's got to be the amp, right?
I carry all my musical supplies in there.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Okay, well, do you want to play for us?
I'll try.
No pressure.
All right. Do it for a living, but...
Yeah. We can edit, though. Worst case scenario.
I was working on, I guess it's a weird rendition, it's a band called Blind Melon. Blind Melon, they're one of my favorites. A lot of their songs, well, the one song they're famous for, it's on the radio. It's a great song, but in the end it was like one of his worst songs because it was a pop song. And all of his other songs, Shannon Hoon, he was a political guy, not just political, but he talked about real stuff. So I listened to a lot of his music, and I was trying to learn a couple of their songs, and I just mixed a bunch of them together in a way. But I kind of, okay. It's called A Mouthful of Cavities, so...
So it's a bill of joy. Now I'm out of my crowd.
was like the best that's version the best. Of that.
Oh yeah, even with us running around and stuff, that yeah. was the, still yeah. the best version.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, yeah. I love that song. It's nice.
It's good. It's always good for some classics in there. Is there anything you've done original?
Yes.
It's like it sounds like a question. Like, is there anything you've done originally? No.
Well,
I'm just wondering.
All right.
If you've ever sat down and just like find yourself jamming sometimes, it's like, wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Like, this guy could make this.
Yeah, it's actually really.
I play
weird.
Guitar and bass, but not banjo. But
yeah, for my, I've got a lot of solo projects. I guess the one solo project. It's all really personal. So, like, I did actually release one of the songs on the Halloween compilation.
Oh.
And I was kind of debating it, but it's extremely personal because it was like I'd sit there and it was kind of improv. So I'd just be, like, playing and it would just come out. And I'd record a bunch of the songs. And I found out I was like, oh, man, this is, like, too close to home. So I was like, I didn't really want to release it. So I've had it for a whole year. But that was one of the things where I would just play and it just kind of came yeah. out. So that's a lot of my like stuff that I've written myself. But then for my one project, I guess, I do a lot of old traditional songs and a lot of songs where I love them so much because they're beautiful. They sound like they're for everybody. So I like to sing those songs for people, but do, I guess, my own renditions of them. So even old Lead Belly songs, some really old traditionals, yeah, from like Bob Dylan to a lot of songs too that people don't normally hear.
Mm-hmm.
So those are important. Like when
so
I'm
Bob Dylan,
okay, yeah, he's nice, actually nice, yeah. one of my favorites, and yeah, he's got some great songs where like, you know, people don't hear a lot of his like really emotional political right. stuff. They hear like a Rolling Stone or some other stuff on the radio, but they don't actually know a lot about
Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Yeah,
my favorite.
Yeah, that's
do you know
a
how to
great,
play that or put you on the spot? No. What Bob Dylan do you know?
A lot, actually. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Right now, I've been doing like a song to Woody. Actually,
okay,
I might do that right. one for you guys.
Yeah,
a song to Woody because awesome. We were talking about the homeless situation yeah. and like right. the Cultural Revolution. So Woody Guthrie. One of the greats, and he sat there and was just like, guys, this land is all of ours, you know. He wrote one of the most prolific songs of, you know, the 20th century, This Land Is Your Land,
right? Oh, yeah.
And it got like, I think I'm allowed to say this, but it got bastardized on the radio and in schools and stuff like that. It almost got put down as a joke. It's like all these political people and people are singing this song like it's a joke and it's something real, you know. Yeah. So it's like Woody Guthrie was one of the ones where he would just go around and just do as he did, and he was plagued by violence and terrible things in his life, and he just keep on right. striving and sing songs for people, you know. That was the thing.
I think The Hurricane by Bob Dylan.
That's a great
that's
one
probably
too,
my yeah. favorite.
Pistol shots
personally.
Yeah. Bar room.
Yeah, it's well, it was, of course, for the boxer.
Yeah,
that was wrongfully found of murdering somebody.
Yeah,
so he sings about so many like people yeah. that go through hardships and yeah. stuff. You yeah. don't hear a lot about you listen to music now. You don't hear that.
No, it's and he actually went to he went to the hurricane and
right.
He went to jail where he was held, and
yep.
I watched the whole documentary. He had interviews with them and tried to figure out what happened, and it was just like, wow, you're just wrong trial,
yeah.
wrong jury,
yeah.
like it's that kind of stuff. And like, come on, like we're all humans here. How can we like literally just sit here and let something like that happen?
Right.
It's kind of disgraceful in a way. But
and going back to like new music, you don't hear that stuff, especially kids, people that are should be like young minds, people that are very influential and stuff.
Yeah.
That should be hearing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's why, of course, when we have people like you come in, we're able to expose
yeah.
that kind of stuff to people that are younger. People
yeah.
that, not even that, but people that might be a little older too and stubborn.
Yeah.
So like.
And it's interesting too, actually, what you just said. There's this one band, I'd like to make a shout out, to Days and Days from from Texas, around there somewhere. I met them out in Calgary a couple of years back, but songwriter there, Jesse, he's one of those songwriters out there you listen to. I can't sing one of their songs because there's quite a lot of swearing, but actually I could edit it all out, but the whole idea is, like, you know, life's a game, life's a joke, screw it, why not go for broke? And it's like, gives people something else to think about, and really,
right,
a different form of just music,
you know? It's a different perspective.
Yeah. It's a good perspective.
Punk rock. I mean, that's like the definition of punk in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, stand outside, like have the courage to, like, not be one with the rest.
Yeah.
Like make your distinction.
Yeah, go against the grain in a way.
Yeah.
And it's immensely cliche, but in the way, when we look at it, it's good. Fucking go with the cliche, you know? It's the best... best thing we could do.
Look where that's got people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the same cycle circle.
Even right now on the internet, there's like memes going around about boomers and millennials and zoomers. Yeah. It's like now we're starting to look up to the boomers and go, okay, boomer. Like, you think you're right, okay? Like, just do what you do.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
All the forms of segregation stuff.
Exactly, right? Look what's come with that.
Yeah.
Got another lick on you there?
Yeah, actually, I might do a different one. Speaking of, I guess, he's not local, but he's a friend of mine. His name's Jesse Stewart. Just over there for a sec. Jesse Stewart, yeah, he's a good travel kid. I met kid, he's an adult. Jeez. He writes some amazing music. I met him out in Ottawa, actually. I went out for... Well, my best friend's wake, and like I mentioned about the family and the community that we have as artists and then travelers, all these crust punks that they call themselves travel kids. It's like, I went to my buddy's wake, he was like my best friend, and you know, this artist came down and came out and said hi and played some music with us and stuff, because he knew we were travelers too and we were all friends. He knew my buddy Hugo as well, so he came down. He was one of my favorite artists. I love his music. So then I met him, and I thought that was amazing. I was just like, man, like, it's really kind. He literally came there just because it's a hard time for us. So it was like, wow, that put a smile on my face. I was like, man, that's pretty sweet. But he wrote this song called Marauder. It's about traveling. It's about, you know, just being on the road, not knowing what's up, I guess, and all that jazz. So I'll try to sing it on the fifth fret. So. Oh,
mind looks deeper, and I drank so much shine that I should be blind. I guess the devil and I, we had a deal. Well, I woke up cold and knocked like dead. The demons of hell thrashed around my head. Lord, I looked to see what had become of me. When I met the boot of an RCMP, said Marauder, Lord, well, Marauder, oh hell, I am my hometown. He said Marauder, Lord.
Yeah, it gets the vibes going, eh?
Yeah. I actually like it. Like, I love the weather.
Well, you can feel sometimes music can change the temperature of a room.
Ooh, that's
it's
true.
Like you can almost. It's feel. Like you start getting. You start bobbing your head. You start moving your knee.
Yeah, true
you,
enough.
Believe it or not, you're actually creating friction. So that's that, yeah. Getting hot in here with Nick. So tell us, what's next for you? What's in the next couple days, couple weeks, couple months, couple years?
All right. Well, give me a sec here.
Yeah. Thank you for staying tuned to CKMS Radio Waterloo, by the way. CKMS Community Connections here.
Pretty
very
exciting.
Special guest today. Nick in the studio here.
I know, right?
In case you haven't figured out what's going on, if you've just tuned in. We just had a performance, Marauder,
mm-hmm.
by
Jesse Stewart.
Jesse Stewart, mm-hmm. who is a local fella.
He is...
From Texas.
No, that he's from out east.
Out east.
Yes, Nova Scotia, I believe.
Nova Scotia.
He's actually on an episode of Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He sung that song on Trailer Park Boys, mm-hmm. I think on the episode.
I should know this.
Yeah. It's like I've seen the recording of it.
Yeah.
It is an awesome song. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I should know this. Like I've seen like
yeah,
every
episode of Trailer Park
Boys. What's going on with this?
That's awesome.
Cool. So yeah, what's
on the
menu? Yeah.
Well, for Amity Operations, we in December 14th at the Chainsaw. There is the punk rock flea market, and we will be having a booth with Dylan from 39 okay. Cassettes, Francis Clare, and Amity Operations will have a booth there. So with that...
But to save that date.
Yeah, and we'll be hanging out all day there. We will have our merch set up. We'll be starting to showcase artists, because that's the whole idea. So
cool.
We're going to have an actual calendar for 2020 with 12 different artists. That we'll be showcasing, selling the calendar as well,
nice.
Giving them out, you know, as
that's
well. And
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's actually, we're preparing the calendar right now, getting the artwork from the different artists. Yeah, so right now we're just doing a lot of merchandise. And then, like I said, we're doing my electric band Bone Soup. We're doing our demo release. That, we are still pushing around the date, but it should be December 28th. And with that, it's kind of a special night, so we're going to have a live painter.
Oh.
Wait for it. A black light live painter.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to have UV lights, and it's going to be black lighted, and he's going to be doing live painting.
Trippy.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing like a really long set, because we're an improv jam band.
Cool.
So hopefully about a 2-hour set.
Visual with audio.
Yes.
And it's physical too. It's not just like a, something on a screen or
like
back in the 60s. Yeah. You put like a lava lamp on a projector or something like that.
That's actually something that I plan on doing.
Oh, cool.
I have projectors and stuff, so I want to start actually getting slides and you can mix like oils. And
old school. And, or whatever. Yeah. That's the right way. Lava lamp. What am I thinking?
Hey, that works too.
Try it out. Yeah. Okay, so you're Dylan, who is someone here at CKMS.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You guys are going to be there. It's going to be really cool. Hopefully we'll be able to come down there.
Yeah, right?
Check it out
part of
for
that.
The CCC
like,
show.
Yep. We're so like, it's so exciting to like, you're like the purpose of what we're trying to do with this show. Because like connecting with local artists, musicians, like the homegrown people that, you know, like we share the streets with here.
Yeah.
You know, that like making so CKMS relevant. That's like, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, we're like, you know, we started the show. Bob is doing one of the CCCs on Mondays. Bob Jonkman,
11 to 12, yeah.
Yeah, like amazing feller. Like he ran as a candidate for the Green Party, and he has been with the station like as just a tremendous resource for all of his tech abilities and just being a superb human being. So he does a show on Mondays. It's also community oriented like this and supports local artists.
We almost did what he does. He has, like, I like that. We actually, this is our first time having someone in, so physically for our rendition. Oh,
yeah. For
our
the Friday show,
for our Friday edition.
Yeah, this is like the second show.
So it was a nice little get our feet in the water here.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we want to make CKMS really relevant for local artists and, like,
we only sharded, or sharded. Well, we don't want to shard.
Did you shark, Jordan?
We only started the show back in June, May, spring.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a relatively new show, but this is open for all programmers of the station to come by. So if they know someone that they have met that they want to bring by the show, they could do that. Or even it could be Canadian music from coast to coast to coast.
Yeah,
it could be
anything more that's not like corporate.
It's like not mainstream. Like local to wherever they come from, right?
As long as it's not there's. Not a man with his hand in your wallet
behind it.
Exactly. That's awesome. Like, it was really good to, like, meet up with you guys and do this. Like, this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been awesome meeting you.
Yeah, it's always good to have someone like you, of course, been through a lot of stuff, hear a different kind of perspective, different kind of story, something that I woke up today, I didn't expect to hear,
right?
You know, something different, a different side of life. So
excellent.
That's what it's all about here on the show.
Yeah.
When you get your, with your electric band, when you get that demo, I'm excited to hear that. We'll play that on the show. That's what it's all about here.
It's going to be interesting.
And you can, I'm excited.
I've also got like my electro, you know, I'll bring some techno for you guys too.
Oh,
sure. Yeah. We're open.
It'll be like a club in here. It'll be so lit. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
If you want to play another song for us, you're more than welcome to.
If you have another one in you,
Bob Dylan,
feeling it.
Yeah, if you have another one in you, we have
seven
minutes left, like, here. We could play out.
Bob Dylan, like, amazing, also, like, obviously poet, like, musician extraordinaire. Like, I think of Blowing in the Wind when I think about Bob Dylan. Like, obviously he's got so much amazing music that, like, kind of goes back to my childhood, just listening to whatever the adults were playing. That, like, it's like incorporated in your mind, like, you know, like, it's just part of you.
And it's multi-generational too. It doesn't have to necessarily be one that you know, you could be from the 60s, you can be from the 70s, 80s, 90s.
I'm 70s, baby.
It's constantly relevant. Like, the stuff you've seen, it's kind of sad that it's constantly relevant.
It's always relevant because we're still fighting the power.
Yeah, exactly. We're still fighting the power.
We're the underdogs.
Not for long.
Well, we got another goodie here from Nick and Shelly Ann, right?
Sally Ann.
Oh, shiz. CKMS 102.7. We got Nick here.
like it's a dime and it's hardly been born. Here's to Cisco and to Sony and to Lead Belly too.
Rendition.
Very cool. I always have a hard time getting my voice up to speed with mm-hmm. what I'm playing sometimes. So
gotta get the vocal cords going. I've been messing with different
areas of singing, so yeah. It's
just right.
Trying to you're having fun, which is like so the point of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As long as you enjoy it.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect, actually. Thank you for staying tuned to CCC with Yenny, DJ JD, and of course our special guest this week, Nick. Thank you for coming by. It's always good to be able to have something
one more song
in the studio. Oh yeah, you're good. Yeah. Play us out. This is it.
All right, this is a traditional one. It's it's by Lead Belly. Easier Rider.
Nick.
That's like wicked fun. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
No problem.
We're going to be in touch with you more. Like Amity Operations sounds like a fantastic idea. We want to be involved.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And I will be involved in CKMS.
Yeah, you have some pretty awesome ideas coming up yourself about CKMS, yes. Right? Is that unveiled at this point? I guess we're out of are we out of time?
Real quick.
Real quick? All right. Well, I will be coming to your guys' little board meeting on November 20th to talk you all.
Oh, cool.
And propose, obviously, having our own radio show as AMD Operations. We will be having one starting January 14th after the 3-9 cassettes on Tuesday nights. So we will have a program then for you all. But I want to get something a little more settled and have hopefully weekly, bi-weekly, cool. As much as humanly possible to talk to all of you people.
And you can
there.
Come by here too and hang out with us on Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would love to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea.
Sweet. Well, thanks so much for listening to our CKMS Community Connection Show. We'll be back next Friday.